I'll take it. Welcome to another action.
This is going to be a fast ad. Why?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, we can start over if you want.
Yeah, you can just take it then. I totally forgot, even though Jackson just said it.
Okay. This is going to be a fast ad. Why? Because Honey searches for promo codes for you fast. Simple as that. And now the ad is over. Just go to joinhoney.com/OP for fast savings at some of your favorite stores. That's joinhoney.com/OP. And now on to Charlie, who is busting at the seams wanting to do the intro.
Oh, I am busting for sure. It's another action-packed episode, number 232. It's a big number. It's a big day. We're joined by the Act Man. Take it away.
Greetings and hello, friends. That's not a sterile intro at all.
Are you starting a comic book?
Greetings and hello, friends.
Greetings, true believers. Welcome to my normal podcast.
It was a normal podcast. The Act Man had just woken up at 6:30 in the morning for the first time in years, but he had to do this podcast. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on. That's really cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you to Jackson for changing our normal time so it fucks people on the West Coast real good.
It's only a 2-hour difference. He still would have had to wake up at 8:30.
That's a huge difference.
I mean, Jackson, yeah, there's a huge difference between 9 a.m. and 7 a.m. for people.
Oh, trust me, I know from all the times I recorded at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Why are you guys giving Jackson shits? He's been up at like 2 a.m.
Because he can flex his schedule around the podcast, whereas our guests have like lives and jobs and shit.
You're the ones complaining. The guest isn't.
Honestly, because they're not here to complain because it's too early for them.
The guest is right.
If only we had a guest to give their insight on it.
The hard part is just getting out of bed. Everything after that is easy peasy. It's just the getting out of bed part.
Oh, look at that. A real man. A real man who knows how to get out of bed.
I'm sorry.
A real act, man.
Don't you get that feeling where your alarm goes off and then you're like, okay, time to get up, but you close your eyes for like 2 seconds and all of a sudden fall back asleep?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I said whenever I have something.
Whenever I have something like I need to do, or it's like set in my brain, like you have to wake up, then I just like sometimes I even automatically wake up without an alarm just because it's in the back of my head.
Yeah, your body like knows when to wake up just because you've been stressing about it the night before, pretty much. Like you've been mentally saying, I've got to wake up at this time. I've got to wake up at this time. And then I find that I usually wake up like 5 minutes before that time.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I used to do that shit right before work. Because I used to have like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. shifts, but I was always a dumbass, like going to bed at midnight. But I would always like wake up 5 minutes before, and my drive to work was like 3 minutes. So I had, you know, a few minutes to just put on my uniform, shower, not look like shit, and then get into work.
That's the way to do it. That's min-maxing life right there.
Seriously.
That's efficiency.
I hate setting alarms, though, in general. They just always give me anxiety that they're not going to go off. So I don't sleep well anyway when I have a fucking alarm.
Such I keep conundrum. Telling you guys, get the old-timey bell. It'll wake your dead relatives. It's very loud. It scares the shit out of you. It immediately shoots your heart rate up to 120 when it goes off right next to your ear. There's no way you can sleep through. It's pro tip.
See, my problem isn't waking up with the alarm. I wake up with my alarm immediately. I set really loud, like jarring music. But the problem is that I always feel I set the alarm incorrectly, or my phone's gonna shut off or something. So it's like, what's the alarm doing? What's the fucking point? I'm not gonna wake up. I'm gonna be late.
Okay, just move next to an old Gregorian church or whatever, and just
every day at 6 a.m. loud gongs and bells.
Well, sir, Act, I have another pro tip for you. What you should not do before you have to get up is stay up until like 5 a.m. local time, which is what I did to watch SNL.
SNL, baby, Saturday Night Live!
It's Saturday Night Live!
Live from New York, it's the worst show ever made!
We haven't been funny in 20 years! The worst show
ever made. Why are people pretending that it was ever funny? It was never funny, right?
I have seen videos of a man diving in a BDSM leather suit in a septic tank and rubbing shit into his eyes, and that was more entertaining than SNL last night.
Jesus Christ.
I've also seen that video and would also agree with Kaya. But the thing about SNL is it's a show where every time you say it's dog shit, they're like, yeah, but you should have watched it 10 years ago. And I remember 10 years ago, people were saying the same thing. They're like, yeah, you should have watched it 10 years ago. It's a show that everyone's like, yeah, it was good here. And then it wasn't good there. And then if you remember back there, like, no, it was good here. And it was still dog shit then. The only time I ever liked SNL is when I was an actual child watching the Chris Farley, Adam Sandler highlights. That is the only time I ever had a positive impression of that
SNL
show.
SNL is basically like firing a machine gun at a target while flailing your arms around. Occasionally a bullet hits, but most of the time you're going to fucking miss.
But the machine gun is loaded with shit.
Exactly. Shit. And yeah, sometimes you can kill someone with a shit bullet. Like, the whole point is that sometimes SNL will have a funny skit occasionally, but it's once every like 20 episodes.
I can't think of a single skit in the last fucking 15 years that put a smile on my face.
So that's my issue then. Like, people are pretending online like Elon Musk was the one that killed SNL last night. Like, it was just so painfully unfunny. Yeah, and it was. I'm sure it was. But, like, that's par for the course for SNL, right? That's just SNL.
Every skit it's kills SNL.
Look, Elon... Bless his heart, he looked very uncomfortable, very, I don't know, extremely...
Why did he do it? I'm so confused.
Very flamboyant, autistic. I also don't know why he did it. I genuinely have no idea. Like, your average YouTuber gets more views than these no-name, washed-up, completely soulless loser boomers who are so disconnected from culture that... I don't know, they're, like, doing inside jokes from, like, 10 years ago. They're, like, doing Zoomer Hospital or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, but look, can we talk about Hospital. How it was gold.
This was an hour-long show.
So when you totally legally watch this within the bounds of the law, as I did, you don't get advertising. So you see commercial break flashing on screen. I don't know how... I felt like, you know, Planet of the Apes, where the human is like teleported to onto a monkey planet and everything is just alien foreign to him. It's like, how does a show exist in this reality that is 9 minutes of content, if you can call it that, and 51 minutes of advertising? People do this still?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, they never adapted. Have you checked it out recently, Actman?
I have not watched SNL. My mom occasionally wants me to watch like some skits, and then she's always like, oh no, this episode's from 5 years ago from my TiVo that I, you know, recorded the other day. I'm like, Mom, it's still rocking TiVo.
But that is absolutely the SNL audience.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
That's why they get so much viewership. They try to watch something else and they're like, oh fuck, I put SNL on again. Oh well.
You know,
nothing I can do about it now.
I did not watch the latest episode. I saw the picture of Elon Musk as Wario, and I watched the Gen Z hospital clip, and I was like, I kind of got the gist of it. I don't need to.
Yeah, same.
I didn't watch the whole thing either. I watched clips, but that Wario costume was amazing in that you could tell they just bought it from Amazon. So clearly cheaply made.
So what's the production cycle on SNL? Like, it's obviously like mostly improv, but like do they come up with the idea like a week before shooting or something?
Yeah, they only have a week to shoot the show, which is why it's so bad.
Yeah, no wonder it's fucking improv then. Jesus.
None of it is.
Well, even still, like, I don't even think the week could lead to stuff this fucking awful. It is actually like watching drama warm-ups from high school where students would go up to do like a small, like, 1 minute thing to get warmed up before some kind of monologue. It's awful. Like, it's fucking terrible.
They should hire you, Charlie. I mean, you upload daily and you make that shit entertaining, you know?
Well,
2 videos skits a day.
Yeah, skits is a very different thing, though. I can't stand skits for the most part. I just don't think that format's enjoyable for me personally. I don't think I could write... I could probably not even write a skit like Gen Z Hospital. It just feels so gross to write a skit.
You tell them what not to write.
Yeah, I'll just give him, like, just guidelines. Just don't say these things.
Yeah.
I have brain damage from watching it. I can't even formulate my thoughts anymore because I've seen this now.
I can't.
That's all, folks. I watch this show. It's like, how scat, can you still defend network TV when there's like YouTubers where I can just install Adblock or they don't have ads to begin with and they're 100 times funnier than you? Why the fuck should anybody still pay for cable? Because you are awful.
God, that's allegedly abysmal.
Allegedly, this is funny to, like, old people, I guess.
No, but that's the so that's the thing, no. Jackson. That is absolutely what is the most baffling part. I was trying to find, like, the octogenarian's perspective on the latest SNL. I couldn't find a single positive thing from, like, gray-bearded Twitter users and, like, all these old people. I would look at them in the replies of SNL and like, this is fucking terrible. I've hated your show for 20 years now.
That's because they're not on the internet. Like, think about it. Like, that Gen Z fucking skit, that's all based around young people of stupid for coming up with new terms.
Here's the other thing on that, too. SNL posts every one of their skits to their fucking YouTube channel, and they all get millions of views and tons of likes.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God. We have one of those brain damage individuals running our Discord. Brady, our moderator, he always sends us SNL clips and says, look how funny they are.
Oh. What the fuck?
I know. This is awful.
He's younger than us, right?
Yes. He's like 22-ish or so. This is awful. Like, by the way, this airs and I say, hey, fellas, I'm in my, you know, family game nights with my buddies in the Discord call. I say, hey, fellas, let's go on the trading apps and see how Dogecoin is doing. And of course, it's fucking plummeting because it's so awful that it immediately lost half its value overnight. And everybody's thinking, yeah, Elon's going to give Dogecoin a shout out and all the boomers are not going to try to get into it. And it's going to skyrocket over $1. And dude, no, like, I feel like now I have the taste of shit in my mouth just for owning Dogecoin now. I want to sell it.
I made a bold, I don't know if you're big into crypto, Ackman, but I made a bold play yesterday when it hit 70 and I knew SNL was coming up. I sold it right then. I was like, yeah, this is going to fucking suck. I'm getting out. I went out on top of Doge.
So it really tanked hard.
My girlfriend my girlfriend invested in it. And she made like $1,000. She sold it like a few days ago, so it was probably the right smart move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was able to. So I put in from FOMO. Once it hit 30 cents or the first time, I was like, "It's over. I'm fucking out." I missed it, and then I was like, "Yeah, I'll still put something in." So I got in at 27 cents, and I sold at 70 yesterday, knowing that SNL would do what it does best and ruin it. So
fucking what's predicted. It down to now?
46 cents.
Ooh, boy.
Bye. Now's the time. At least before
the
next episode.
To the moon, fellas.
Buy the dip, baby. Yeah, buy the dip, baby. I bought
paper
the dip.
Paper hands.
Buy the fucking dip.
Can we get someone in here to ban this troll? Have you guys ever been in a shitcoin Telegram? Telegram group?
I have actually been in one. Only
oh,
one
my
though.
God. Dude, it is just sad. So Telegram, for those who don't know, is like boomer Discord. And just as unsafe and shitty, except they think that it's like super safe and encrypted and shit, which it isn't. It collects tons of metadata. But they have these Telegram groups for every single shitcoin. Like, you'll go into a coin like Dog Elon, which is one of the coins that they apparently thought Elon Musk himself was running personally because the coin claimed so. And go in, and it's like, buy. And you can tell it's all bots. They even had their Twitter account banned because it was just all bots promoting this on social media. And it's all bots going, paper hands, you losers, you're selling just because it's crashing. Hold, buy the dip, buy. To the moon, it's going to skyrocket when Elon Musk, who's running this coin, is going to shout it out on SNL. It's like, motherfucker. No, you all got rug pulled, which is a term I learned in that fucking Telegram before everybody got banned for saying the term rug pulled, which is apparently when they pull the rug from underneath you and whales sell their bags, as I've been told, is the terminology.
You've got it all sad. On the money. Yeah, it is pretty sad.
Fuck me. And I'll say this, and I know I'll draw the ire of all the Elon fanboys. Is Elon a boomer? Because he really lost all credibility of this future-looking, very super smart tech bro. You know, going on SNL on a show like that and actually doing it.
I still don't understand why he did it. He only had things to lose from going on SNL. Surely he knew that.
I think he just likes to have fun, and when he was presented with the opportunity, I think all of us would fucking do it too, just for the sake of doing it as a joke. I'd go on SNL. It's my least favorite show, but
dress up as
it.
Wario. Fuck it, I'd be like, make it Waluigi, and you've got yourself
a
deal.
Exactly.
The two of you are bigger than SNL. Why would you do it?
No, we are not bigger than SNL. Are you kidding me? They still rake in millions and millions of viewers every week.
So does Charlie.
I don't know where you're getting that number from, though, Andrew. It's actually been on like a huge decline for over a decade now. I'm curious what they do pull in.
Well, I mean, even their YouTube channel gets in millions of views a day. That's part of it.
Well, I guess they, like, I'm checking it out, and it looks like they have, like, I don't know, what is that, 20 uploads in the last 9 hours?
Jeez, yes. Holy fuck. And all of them average, like, right. What, half a million?
Six, no... That's 16, sorry. Yeah, views are, they're all a little bit less than 500K.
Okay.
Or none of them in the last, none of those last 16 uploads are.
Right, right.
I don't know what channel you guys are looking at. It's like a verified Saturday Night Life with 11 something million subscribers. Last video is Miley Cyrus with 100,000 views. This is sad. What gives a shit about Miley Cyrus? Like, she's so boring and... I don't know.
Yeah, but regular people care about Miley Cyrus, Kaya.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. I feel like extraordinary people like us were above it.
No, I do feel like we're in an echo chamber. Like, there must be people out there that actually do like SNL and watch it. Like Brady, for example.
But they're definitely not online, I can tell you that. I don't know where they are, but they are not on the internet.
I will say they have had some, like, hits. I mean, with Chris Farley and Norm MacDonald. I fucking love Norm MacDonald.
I'm a big Norm fan.
Norm's
did you guys
amazing.
See him roast Saturday Night Live when he was on Saturday Night Live?
No, but that sounds like a Norm MacDonald thing to do.
It was basically like they had fired him, you know, way back in the day, and then they wanted him to come back as host, and so he was like, "How did I go from being not funny enough to be on the show to being so funny that I should host the show?" And then he basically used that as a way to say, because the show sucks now. And he's like, we'll be back after. Oh, fuck. I can't remember exactly how he put it. But it was like, you know, the skits coming up is, well, you'll see, you know.
Yeah,
it's like a 3-minute audio clip. I don't think they have video for it, but it's fucking savage.
Yeah, so to give you guys some context on that as well, SNL apparently, according to a report in March, averages about 4 million viewers per show. And that's on the low end because they're in a slump right now. So normally they get like 6 to 9 million viewers.
They shouldn't be in a slump.
We're not
right?
bigger than well, SNL. Are at home, they are much bigger than both of us.
But why are they at a slump right now? Obviously that's showing that they're declining.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that they're not in a slump, but at the same time, it's still popular. You know?
I can't imagine where the viewers come from, though. Like, I don't know. Like, even old people, like my parents' friends, their friends, none of them watch cable TV, and let alone fucking Saturday Night Live.
Like, maybe it's it's like botted or something. Maybe the TV corporation set up bots.
I really think there has to be something nefarious at play. I don't know literally anybody else.
I was reading that like half of Ellen DeGeneres' viewers are bots. It's like the biggest bot proportion like on TV. I don't know how true that is, of course, but
aren't you talking about her Twitter account? Or wasn't it? I think that's like all of them, isn't it? The big personalities like Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres, like 80% of their followers are just bots.
Oh, or maybe it was their Instagram Pakistani following. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I'm sure Stanny bot for him.
I'm sure a lot of them have like their social media
band name.
I mean, the fact that YouTube tries to tailor to these guys, I mean, keep in mind, like, YouTube has tried their hardest for so long to fuck indie creators, just like kids in their bedrooms trying to make content for the sake of promoting these TV shows like SNL and Jimmy Kimmel and shit, and you watch and it's just so abysmal and horribly written and boring and bad and 50 minutes of advertising in between. I don't know. I don't know who watches this.
Give Adam Sandler a talk show, man. I want to watch Adam Sandler talk about all his bad movies.
Yeah, it'll just be Jack and Jill live.
Yeah, Jack and Jill live.
He doesn't do anything unless he can make like a holiday out of it for himself. Like
Kevin James can go to
some exotic country. Yep. God, yeah.
I love that conspiracy that all the Adam Sandler movies are purely just vacations for him.
Well, it wasn't a conspiracy, right?
Okay, yeah. conspiracy is too strong of a word, but I'm pretty sure
he blatantly came out and said that it's
true. I love how that all wraps up into it. Is what I meant.
Like he
isn't that what we're kind of doing? Just talking to friends, company,
obviously. Is that on my end or is Kaya?
Kaya's a robot.
Yeah, what I was going to say is he owns a production company and then basically he just creates projects for him and his friends to go to like Italy and shoot on location for a week. and they're the worst movies, but they still make fucking bank.
A handful of those movies are shot at really high class resorts because it's like, oh, wacky guy at high class resort doing weird stuff. But it just means that they do one day of filming and then 2 weeks of just vacationing.
I'm not even sure if they like set up actual filming. They just, it's like handycam footage of Adam Sandler at the snack bar at a, at a resort or something. Those movies are so
His next movie is just going to be an improvised hour and a half rant of him at the bar of a nice hotel so that he can immediately walk off and start hanging out at the hotel when he's done.
Gets a full theatrical release. Call it
Bar Talk. And it's going to make $1.6 billion, of course.
It must be easily awesome to pitch these ideas to the like funders and the investors. Like, okay, my movie is about me and my friends.
Yeah.
We go to Malibu, or actually Hawaii. I haven't been in Hawaii yet. We get strippers, we surf, we drink a lot. We get blowjobs and pole dancers.
I mean, it's not even that difficult, Kaya. The way that he pitches movies is he goes, I'm Adam Sandler. And they go, all right, here you go. Here's the money.
Here's your plane ticket.
Where do you want to go this week, Adam?
I don't know. At least it can still be entertaining, I suppose. I still have a very warm spot in my heart for Kevin James. I think that's his name, right? The King of Queens guy, the tubby man. Mm-hmm. He's always fun in movies. Him. Yeah.
Yeah,
he seems like a small cop, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he has a lot of fun because of Bespoke Post?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Yeah, it has to.
Yeah,
that has to be the reason.
It has to be the reason because of the Box of Awesome collection for guys, guaranteed to upgrade their life. I mean, whether you're out taming the wilderness or taking your home bar to pro level heights, Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections. Oh, my throat. There we go. Collections for every part of your life. To get started, you can just take the quiz at boxofawesome.com, and your answers will help pick the right box for you. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. You want a cool knife? They probably got it. You want some like bar mix and shaking up equipment? They probably got it. You can always browse and peruse and find a good box for you. I, of course, like the drink mixing set that I got a while back. I use it to make Pocari Sweat and other weird powder-based drinks I enjoy because I'm a thirsty boy. You can get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter code official at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code official, for 20% off of your first box.
Thank you.
Damn, I need to get me one of those boxes.
Yeah. Put that in the beginning. The Act Man is helping.
For one of my awesome reviews.
Woo!
Sponsored by Awesome Boxes. Oh, man.
I don't know if you can legally say that.
Oh.
Yeah, can we legally call them awesome?
Okay,
we'll check with our legal team.
Hypothetical.
Our legal team is letting us know that that is not okay.
They may be awesome, but comes with no guarantees. Unlike SNL, which is guaranteed to not be awesome. My fucking god. And the audacity on these people to get, like, butthurt at people like Joe Rogan. Like, oh, they paid him $100 million to move to Spotify. Like, yes! Have you compared the two? It's like 2 hours of uncut, actually entertaining content versus what you do, which is 9 minutes of content that makes you want to kill yourself. This is so embarrassing, man. I don't know. Fuck me. That felt bizarre.
Why is it embarrassing? Are you, like, individually, personally involved in SNL?
As a species, just like, enjoy it. Dude, we have satellite dishes on this Earth right now, sending signals out into space, like, trying to find intelligent life. And, you know, one day we might, and they're going to come to the planets. They're going to see all the shit we've been broadcasting. They're going to watch this.
Why? It's not that deep. It's just a fucking shitty TV show. You don't have to, like...
It's just...
related to intergalactic diplomacy. Like, aliens are gonna hate us.
They're gonna kill
SNL.
Us, Jackson. It's very important that they don't watch SNL. They're gonna fucking kill us. They're gonna think these guys have no sense of humor. Huh?
The cosmic odds are that, like, it could possibly be that aliens like SNL. Like, that's their sense of humor.
Yeah,
on
that's
aliens.
The only show keeping us from killing us.
Imagine aliens love shit like TikTok, and they think, like, TikTok skits in SNL is the peak of our species.
They think we're so advanced.
How do you get your videos so short?
They look at us like, look at it. It's like Wakanda technology. How is this even possible? They're so advanced. They've just been hiding on this fucking rock called E-Earth. And they have something called TikTok Talk, where they stitch together something called SNL clips with Elon Musk. It's amazing. Have you seen this global
like comedy in such a short time?
They have some, like, time delay, so they're going to travel here via light speed, but they're going to have seen stuff that was popular like 5 years ago. So, like, 20 years from now, they're going to be like, where are all the Viners? We come for the Viners, the top tier quality entertainment.
Hey, I mean, SNL is like 10 years behind, so they'll catch them up.
I was just about to say.
Perfect.
Yeah. They'll end up writing for SNL.
We just got Happy Gilmore. We're looking forward to more of this Adam Sandler.
We got bad news for you.
They only ended up coming to Earth because their TiVo was full and they couldn't erase
show
it.
Us
how do we
Bill Cosby? He's very funny.
Earthlings, we need your help. How do we delete SNL from the TiVo?
Oh man,
I look forward to that day.
That'll be a good day.
Imagine if aliens did, like, communicate entirely like the Gen Z hospital skit.
Oh,
like,
God.
They're just way ahead of us.
Jesus Christ.
Like, evolution.
Intergalactic aliens come to Earth and they just quote Gen Z hospital to each other over and over again and crack up from it.
But in that sense, isn't it... Here's a philosophical question. Isn't the Gen Z hospital funny in the sense that we are making fun of it and using it as a subject matter for other jokes?
No.
Oh, that's too deep. You're giving SNL way too much credit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Not really, no. I'm not giving even that credit. We made fun of EDP last episode, too. It's like, you're so horrible that you're okay to make fun of, but fuck me, like, who watches you?
I can't get over SNL, man, but we should move on from SNL.
I also have brain damage from it, so... Do we have any other topics?
Yeah. Resident Evil 8. Have you played it yet, Ackman?
Oh, you know, I was caught between a rock and a hard place last night because I was like, I got to wake up early, but I just got home from visiting my girlfriend's grandparents and Resident Evil 8 has just finished installing. So I basically got to the part where I got up against the first enemy, almost died, and... killed it, and that's kind of where I left off last night. So,
first enemy is in like one of the werewolves.
Yeah.
The first werewolf that like drags into the house, right?
You guys have all played it.
Yeah, you played all the games, man.
Let's go ahead and blanket this because while we've played it to different levels, be careful on spoilers.
I finished it. Yeah.
Spoil anything. Wait.
Yeah, because I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of playing it, so
yeah,
I haven't beaten it yet. Spoilers.
Yeah, it's nothing like Resident Evil 7. It's more of like an action game, like through and through. It is mainly an action game. Capcom said yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. They said RE7 was too scary, so they didn't want this to be scary.
They didn't want to turn off new players, which I can kind of understand. Because the Resident Evil franchise has always had that kind of action. Well, not always, but the later entries have been more action oriented.
Even then, that quote was kind of misattributed. What they meant by that was they added more like calmer and action sections compared to scary sections to give players more breathing room. Because 7, a lot of players complained it was too much like slow burn atmosphere. Which
I absolutely preferred.
I still like that, yeah, but a lot of people complained about it, apparently, so.
Yeah.
I just fucking loved Resident Evil 4, man. I beat that shit, like, 7 times at this point. That's, like, one of my most played single players. But oddly enough,
RE4, did you say?
Resident Evil 4. But oddly enough, I rarely play like the other Resident Evils. Like I played Resident Evil 2 a decent amount, but yeah,
the remake or the original?
Oh, the remake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also very good
game.
So now I'm getting back into it with Village, and I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, I was gonna say I do think Village is more RE4 than RE7.
Like, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I think if you liked Resident Evil 4, you'll like Village a lot.
Are you guys playing it on...
But I'm also not like... Oh, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you guys are playing it on normal or hardcore.
Standard.
Okay, because I'm playing it on hardcore, and that beginning when you have to run away from all the werewolves took me an hour and a half. The rest of the game is way easier compared to that, but that section is fucking... brutal on hardcore.
I think it's a stupid section. I think that there's no reason for that to be there other than it's overly confusing. There's no that's going to turn a lot of people off.
Here's the thing with it too. They fucked up the design from Resident Evil 4 that made that same section so good. So RE4 has the opening village, and the way it works is either you kill a certain number of enemies or a timer runs out, and then the scene instantly ends. A church bell goes off and all the villagers leave and the like title screen drops. And it's like, that works great, because if you're killing the enemies, then you can progress the scene further. Or if you're running away and trying to survive, you progress the scene. In RE8, it's done terribly, because not only do you have to like survive a certain amount of time, but 2 certain events have to trigger, and then you have to be outside, and then you have to stand in a specific spot to trigger another scripted event before the scene ends, which means if you are a player that plays cautiously and just hides in buildings or tries to survive, you will literally never end the scene. You will never beat the level. It's fucking terrible.
That's like a really long kind of sequence. I think I just got there because I got into that house where they start attacking the house.
Yeah,
you're right on the cusp.
You're getting there.
Yeah, I'll give you a tip. I won't spoil anything, but to end that scene, you have to be outside. And I found that out the hard way, because if you stay inside during that whole fight, you are literally just wasting your time.
But you also can't die until a certain point. Like,
it's really fucked up. It's
stupidly designed.
Everything else I played is great, but that one scene just, it fucking sucked. It wasn't that fun after it, and then...
If the goal is just to transport you to a new cutscene, then they should have just made it so as soon as you die, it just, you know...
Exactly.
Like you're dragged to that point, and then that cutscene happens. They even have it where you can die... I'm pretty sure you can die anywhere outside... one of the werewolves just throws you towards the pre destined spot. Like, he'll throw you to where the cutscene starts.
Yep.
So there's that transition there. So they could have made that work anywhere, pretty much. I'm not sure why it only needs to be outside. Yeah. It's weird.
And on fucking hardcore, it's even worse, because like, you have to plan a whole route, and you have to like utilize every... So on hardcore, the enemies take so much fucking damage to kill. And it's good in the normal gameplay when it's like, yeah, you got to position yourself and aim for the head, and that's fun. But in that werewolf scene, you have to use each and every explosive barrel and each and every flower thing. And it's like, you would think that would be fun, but with how many of them spawn and how much RNG there is to their movement, it just means that you're ramming your head against the wall until it works. It just sucked.
I don't think the gunplay feels all that great in first person with Resident Evil, especially with the more mobile enemies, like how they're always dodging stuff. It just feels more frustrating than it needs to.
Mm. But Jackson, you have a field of view of 9 degrees. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, the field of view is so
you
bad.
Can look, you can look at one item at a time, giving you all the...
It's such
you know,
a
you can focus, laser focus. It's like you're always scoping with a rifle.
Yeah. The game really does look incredible. And I just kind of thought about this. Like, horror games are probably the only the genre where graphics matter most. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much like the quality, but like the style. Because if you're going for that like visual horror, like you need that, you know, like I beat the original Half-Life. I'm going to do a Half-Life 1 review. And just thinking about like the headcrabs and the zombies and like how Resident Evil Village looks, it's like if you don't have a good graphical style or, you know, great graphics, then it's not as scary. But man, this game just looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game nails both the graphical fidelity as well as like the actual style, like the stylistic choices. Like everything just looks so good.
How did you like Half-Life on the replay?
On the replay?
Yeah, how did you like when you went back and replayed it? How did you like it?
Oh, bro, it's still so fucking good. The scripted sequences and everything. Oh man, I would totally go back and replay it again. I love that shit.
Damn, I fucking hated it.
Really? The original?
I replayed it like 5 or 6 years ago. Oh my god, I was bored out of my fucking mind with that game.
You know, I make a comment because I've been writing my review and I was like, I bet loads of people with ADHD couldn't sit past this opening intro. I literally write that. I have ADHD and I was like, the first time I played Half-Life, I was like, I'm not shooting anything yet.
I just didn't know, like maybe the best part. Yeah, I like most of the things about it, but actually playing it sucked. I'd rather watch it.
Have you tried Black Mesa?
I can totally get that because it is like older, and sometimes those puzzles, like if you don't enjoy the puzzles or at least like find some satisfaction out of doing them, then they'll pretty much just slow down the shooting part if that's just what you want to get to, you know. So
have you played Black Mesa, Charlie?
No, I have not.
You might want to give that a go. It's Half-Life 1, but remade in Half-Life 2's engine, and it plays a lot faster.
Dude, if you're trying, the way you feel about Half-Life is how I feel about Resident Evil games. So I get you.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. I'm so bored. All I could do is just play and make fun of it, which made it entertaining. But I've noticed
what
that
about
game
4,
has...
Though?
I haven't played 4, so I can't speak to that.
Ooh.
I got into the series with 7, which I only played.
What are you playing?
Wait, you've only you hate Resident Evil, but you've only played 7 and 8?
I mean, two Resident Evil games, yeah. Those are still Resident Evil, are they not? I think that's still fair. I paid full price.
But Resident Evil games always change so drastically.
Yeah, they're not indicative of the whole series at all. Every single other Resident Evil is completely different than 7 and 8.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not speaking about those. Just I'm saying for myself, I played Resident Evil 7 like 1 or 2 months ago, I think, or so, and now 8, and it's just the writing, the gameplay, everything is boring.
Oh, the writing's bad in these two.
Oh, you think so?
What I've noticed is that these games have a higher ratio of like ardent fanboys will get offended if you don't like the game and you make fun of it, and like they
that's
will
any game series
no, but this one, man, this has more. Like, if you don't like it and you make fun of it, you'll get these fucking people seething in your chats, which is like, dude, it's fine. Like, if you like the game and I don't, it's fine, you can still enjoy it. I didn't delete the original game files and wipe it out of existence like Thanos. Like, I don't like it though.
That's not how the internet works, okay? You either like what I like or you don't like what I like.
See, or Actman gets it.
Yes, Actman gets it. And Actman, so one word has always, I've been hearing it for 15 years on the internet, it's the word contrarian, and I've never ever, literally never heard it once used, where it didn't just mean he made fun of a game / band / movie that I like. That's all it ever means.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you don't like my
definition,
fuck you, contrarian.
Needs.
What? Sorry, Charlie, what?
I said that's all it needs. It's the only thing that matters anymore, Kaya. Yeah. If you like what I like, you're good. If you don't like what I like, I hate you. Like, it's as easy as that, bro.
Except, you said you didn't like Half-Life, and I liked it. But I still want to like you, Charlie. What do we do about this?
we can move past this. I think there's other things that we can do.
All right, take it easy.
You can move on, yeah.
You'll live. Kaya, you're getting aggressive there, Charlie. Calm down.
Kaya, you have to realize that all those internet buzzwords are just what fucking, like, kids and people in chats will just spam whenever they hear anything negative about what they like. Like, you could be doing a game and be like, oh, I don't think this section's very good. You know, I think that the previous game did it better. And they'll be like, cope. You're just coping. you're being a contrarian. Oh, seethe. You're seething.
It's like,
oh, that's so cringe that you think that. It's just buzzwords that they quote because they don't have anything meaningful to say.
Somebody's going at me like, it's so if you don't enjoy it, and you clearly hate the game, why do you keep playing it then? Just turn it off and play something else. Like, motherfucker, you weren't saying this when I was making fun of Life is Strange. You joined me in making fun of it, but because this is something that you like, all of a sudden I have to turn it off and shut up, or else I'm a contrarian. I don't know. I think at some point you grow out of it, because I know for me, there's things that I really love, like my favorite movie is Mad Max Fury Road. If you hated that movie and you constantly make fun of it, fair enough. Maybe you just don't like it. I do. That doesn't take away from me.
The internet has this really, really stupid worldview that you can't criticize something you like. So, like, they have the idea that if something's good and you like it, you can never say negative things about it. So you'll be streaming a game, and if, like, let's say we're doing Resident Evil 8. And I'll be like, yeah, that opening werewolf sequence sucked, but I'm still having fun and enjoying the game. Half the chat's going to be like, oh, so wait, you hate the game? Why are you shitting on it? What do you mean? I thought you said it was good. It's like,
there's like
yeah,
a
it
weird
is.
Disconnect.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't like that part, but I like the game. No, that you can't say that. If the game's good, how could you say that? I don't know.
Or enjoying
you
it
get
wrong.
That a lot in your comments.
Oh, well, dude, like, I get it so much. The funny part is when you spend a lot of time like writing a review and then like working on it, and you spend all this time editing, and then you always get comments because it's always like, well, Actman, why didn't you mention this one minor detail found 17 hours in this secret location, this Easter egg that reveals three times more about the story? And it's like, I get a lot of those comments where it's like, why didn't you mention this, or why didn't you mention that, or how come you didn't talk about this? It's as if, like, you know, one small detail just completely changes the outcome of everything. But it's also like I'm one person, and there's like thousands of people commenting or, you know, playing this game. Like when I did New Vegas, I didn't fucking know that you could that you could quick select items in that. I spent like 100 plus 200 hours on that review, and I didn't know you could quick select items. And it's like something simple just. But that's not as much like I like this or I dislike this. That's more like, I guess people, there's always people that know way more about something than you do.
Yeah.
You didn't play it right, bro. Well,
especially
though.
The fans.
Yeah. You didn't play it the way they played it, and they hate you for it. That's a big one on Twitch. That one's huge.
Yep, I
that
hate
is
that
a big
one. Too.
It's like, oh, you're doing it wrong. Like, motherfucker, I didn't play this game 7 times like you. This is my first time and I'm fucking up. Yes. Who cares?
God, and that one's rough every time. Oh my god. Well, speaking of rough, tell them about Harry's razors, Andrew. If they have a rough facial hair situation going on, how can they fix it?
I was
you
about
know
to say
rough
something.
Is itchy beards. I always try to grow my beard, but I always give up because it gets too itchy, and then Harry saves me. Tell them, Andrew, please.
Yeah, I was going to bring up a very similar point where if you've got a rough, patchy face, maybe it's about time to shave it off. You don't want that, do you? But let me tell you something. You shouldn't have to choose between a great shave and a fair price. And with Harry's, you won't have to. Let me tell you boys something. Usually lately, I've been letting my beard get pretty long before I take care of it. And then eventually I go, we're reaching the danger zone here. Let's clean this up. And I pull out Harry's. I do. You know, you give it a little electric trim first. But then when you want to get that real cleanness, those nice lines really just slick that thing up, Harry's is the perfect choice. And for a limited time, Harry's is offering their starter set plus a free travel size body wash at harrys.com/official. Harry's has fair prices. They own the means of production and use only the most crucial features, allowing them to keep prices as low as $2 per refill. They also have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They stand behind the quality of their blades so much that they have a 100% money-back guarantee on harrys.com. I mean, I've been using Harry's for probably... God, I worked in software when I started using them, so I've been using them for like 6 years now, and I have never once needed to send my blades back. So it's there if you need it, that money-back guarantee, but take it from someone who's been using them for years. I've never once needed to use it. For a limited time, Harry's has made this exclusive offer for the official podcast. New customers can get that offer of a Harry's starter set and body wash at harrys.com/official. You'll get a 5-blade razor, weighted Truman handle, foaming shave gel, travel blade cover, and travel size body wash. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/official to redeem your offer today.
Mm-hmm. Nice. By the way, somebody in chat is asking, can women use this? And yes, of course.
Yes.
Women absolutely can use men's razors. By the way, you may go to the website and notice that it's not all pink and such, but you know, it's still a perfect razor that you can perfectly use on your legs or whatever. Do you guys know there's something called the pink tax, apparently? Where, like, yep, if something is pink, it gets a price markup that women have to pay for.
It's a scam. Like the same, yeah.
Wow.
The same shampoo, like the exact same shampoo or hair product or deodorant or whatever it is, as like if you make it pink, it'll cost more because it's made for women and they try to scam women into thinking.
The government taxes you or...
Yeah, it's like an unofficial thing with the government.
The government's like, women.
Fuck women. Sir, we saw on your taxes that you bought something for a woman.
We're going to have to upcharge you.
It was a trade-off. It was a trade-off when the government allowed women to vote. They also put in that little sneaky loophole. You can vote, but we charge you more for stuff now.
But yeah, but pink stuff is going to cost more now, bitch.
You haven't sent those razors back in, though? Like 6 years, they're still going strong?
No, never.
Damn.
Yeah, in like 6 years, I've never needed to return a Harry's razor.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah. Well, I replaced the razor. I never need to send any that I've used back.
Oh, I get you.
Never once. But yeah, Kaya's completely right. Like, companies will take the exact same product down to the same ingredients and then say it's blank for women and charge a little bit more. It doesn't even have to be pink as long as it's for women. Like, you'll have deodorant, exact same ingredients, but they'll be like, oh, new sport deodorant for women, and it's a little bit more money.
Yeah, because
that
it's pink.
So that,
I noticed the reverse.
Even the name pink tax is sexist. Then if it doesn't actually relate to the color,
man, I've like, been just saying buying like tampons pink for women this whole time.
Well, that's another argument that there are some feminists arguing that tampons should be tax free because it's something that women have no choice in. Like, you know, they get their periods. They didn't choose to get their periods. They need
the product.
The
choice is that or something very uncomfortable.
Like a rag between your legs.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I should be able to make the same argument about razors. I mean, I get fucking, you know, itchy neck beards if I don't shave. So can my razors please be tax-free, government? Get rid of the blue tax, too. Get rid of all taxes, in fact.
Toilet paper.
I think we just need to abolish taxes at some point. The government should just start streaming to make their money that way.
They get donations.
Yeah,
the government lives off anyway
of subs.
Yeah, but fucking government, make a video game or something. Make a movie. Actually earn your money, you fucking motherfuckers.
Yeah, they do.
You don't do shit.
Exactly. They do.
Subscribe or we don't fix the roads.
Smash that like button.
Fix the roads anyway. They don't fix the roads anyway.
Oh, that's a fucking lie. They fixed the roads outside my house. It's taken them over a fucking month.
Well, you live in a gated residential.
Well, no, it's the entire road, Jackson. Jesus Christ. Like, the entire road around my area has been under construction for over a month, and it's literal lockdown. If you try and leave, you're stuck for over an hour because they don't want to let you through because they just get in a groove and they just don't let cars through. So you just fucking sit there doing nothing. Crazy.
Yeah, and Charlie, that blew my mind because I went to your house recently and that road wasn't even like bad. I don't know why they had to repair it.
It wasn't. It's a scam. Like, the road was fine. It was completely fine. There was no potholes. It was nice and slick. I'm sure they oil it up like a bowling lane, too. Like, it was a nice road. And then they fucking upend everything over the last month just to, I don't even know what to do. They didn't make it better. They just made it darker.
Maybe they're installing new potholes and making it worse.
And that's the other thing, Jackson. There's plenty of roads in town that have potholes or could use a repaving, but this road that he's talking about, it was fine. It was totally fine.
Sentimental value. They really like that road.
Yeah, it is a scam. Yeah. It's all a fucking scam.
I'd rather they just don't fix roads.
My God,
we're all against taxes here. I mean, speaking of roads, like, when I was submitting my, you know, if you have... I think people generally use like TurboTax or something you guys have in America, like some software or something. Mm-hmm, a lot of us, though, we just have like an accountant or a tax guy and we send them our bills, right? So we just send them, hey, I bought this, whatever, figure it out, do the paperwork. And so I'm on the phone with my tax lady and she's like, okay, so she's trying to explain taxes to me like I'm a fucking dummy. She's like, you know, you can drop everything related to your work from taxes. You can say it's a work expense. I go, I know. She goes, okay, so even that includes travel. So if you've ever traveled to, like, I don't know, to a podcast guest, or if they travel to you, you can, you know, deduct the fees of every mile that they had to drive. So how much driving did you do for your work? And I say, zero. And she goes, what? Yeah, you traveled 0 miles to your job? I go, yeah. It's like, I work from home. I don't use the roads. That's why I hate that argument every single time. It's like, taxes pay for the roads. I don't give a shit. I don't use them. I work from home. I do a podcast in my spare room. I don't give a shit. I don't go outside to do my job. It doesn't do anything for me. Yet I pay so many taxes.
It doesn't
that they should...
affect me, so it's not useful. That's Fuck what you're them. Saying. It doesn't Fuck affect them. Me, so it's not useful. Yes. What about all the truck drivers, huh?
Think they, should they should work then. From Moving home, Jackson.
Yeah.
Learn to code,
we need to
it.
Beam it. We should beam our food back and forth instead of having it delivered.
I'm Use just saying. Use the Tesla technology to autopilot the trucks.
Oh, God, don't say Tesla. Just, I'm getting, like, NAMM flashbacks to me in the trenches watching SNL.
Are we going back to SNL?
No,
God,
please.
No, let's not go to that place again.
Why?
Place.
No. Oh.
No. I'm sure we can squeeze out a topic. Actman.
Wait.
Hit us with something
new.
Real
quick, can we rate Resident Evil 8? Can we
we got completely sidetracked.
Yeah, that happens.
That's the
that
show.
Happens, Actman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So who's finished it here? Just me and Charlie and Kyle?
I haven't finished it. No, I actually tried to refund it, but apparently I already logged like 3 hours in.
Damn, dude.
I heard the length.
I think
is,
I know what your rating is.
I heard people complaining about the length of it. Like, it's like, what, 8 hours?
It took me 7, but yeah, everyone complains about Resident Evil length, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Eight hours is absolutely fine with me. If you drag it on much longer, then it's an issue.
I mean, they always have a bunch of side content in those games too, right? Don't they have a bunch of like mini games and optional chests. Campaigns and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
The length wasn't an issue with me at all. I felt like it was pretty well paced. Like, you weren't staying in one section for longer than you really, like, for it to get tired or anything. So that was good. Overall, though, I'd give it like a 7 or an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I was also thinking a 7.
What do you guys think of the writing? Because I had some comments in my head about like the intro. Now, granted, I didn't play through 7, but I did watch a recap. But I what did you guys think of like the writing and the story?
Yeah, it's bad. Resident Evil 8's writing is some of the worst. There's a scene in the very beginning, I don't. You might have already gotten to it, where a girl dies in front of me. He's like, why does everyone keep dying?
Oh, that was so fucking funny. I laughed like a motherfucker, which again pissed off the fanboys. But like, who am I playing? Elliot Rodger? A woman just died for no reason, by the way. She just... So...
Yeah, she just died.
Act Man, I don't know if you've gotten to that point.
He's not there yet. He's not there
yet. It's not really spoilers. The point is, a woman shoots her dad to kill him. And then the dad starts dying and she decides, hey, I have to die with him for no fucking reason. And then she dies in a horrible fire. And Ethan, the main character, goes, why does everybody keep dying on me? Oh.
It's like, what, how could this be happening again? Yeah.
How do I keep finding myself in these situations?
Yeah. The dialogue is really bad.
Like, motherfucker, this has happened to you before. Why are you this shocked about anything at this point? Also, like, you're the... you've now had been fighting monsters for a combined of 12 hours or so in, like, the playtime. You still don't have superpowers or anything? Why is anything so shocking to you?
Well, that's the other thing, Kaya. In the very beginning cutscene of the game, he's like, this is all happening really fast. My military training and working with Chris Redfield, and it establishes, oh, okay, this is a different Ethan from Resident Evil 7. He's got military training, and he's familiar with the bioweapons, and he was mentored by Chris. And then what happens in the beginning of the game? What the fuck's happening? Oh, God! Oh, no!
To be fair, 2 years isn't a super long time. Like, he's not going to become a hardened veteran.
But
or
still,
like
you think he'd be at least somewhat more competent than the previous game, but I think
over the game he is more competent than in Resident Evil 7. I just think he himself is just an awfully written character with some of the worst dialogue in video games. He's like he's void of any charisma somehow. Yeah. Like he's just an empty sack. He's like he's one of the sacks of flowers in the game, just walking around. He's awful. He's one of the worst characters by far.
Oh, playable character.
Ethan
Winters,
I like how in the beginning spoiler alert again, sorry, they gunned down his wife and she's riddled with like 67 bullets and she's on the ground, she's Swiss cheese, and then the bad guy comes up to her and he's about to shoot her in the head and he's like, no, don't do it, like, bro, she's already dead. She has like 27 pounds of bullets in her.
And then that's not even the comedic timing is he literally shoots her five more times after that while she's already dead.
Just to make sure.
It's so good.
Yeah, I feel like you could take that and make it a really funny skit where like people just keep coming in and just like stabbing the body or like shooting it, or dogs come in and
breaking
every
one of its bones.
incinerator and like salt the earth.
Give you folks at home an idea of the writing, I have openly laughed more at the story than I've ever felt emotional or scared. Like I've been cracking up the entire time playing it. It's really goofy.
It's super fucking goofy.
The ending answers a lot of your guys' concerns and questions, but it's really bad.
In the worst possible way.
Is it just an MP4 of the writer coming out and apologizing and saying he's cringe? What do you have to look forward to? You're going to enter the castle. And there's going to be these women who are going to yell at... they're going to scream for your man meat and your man blood and your man juices. They're going to be like, give me your man juice. It's been so long since I've tasted man meat.
And it's
so hot. I should string you... dangle you. From, I mean, it was kind of hot, I guess, but...
I'm not looking forward to the cosplayers. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm super excited to play the rest of the game because I went in for the vampire women going, yeah, they're super hot and super cool. But the fucking Magneto guy might be one of the coolest characters I've seen in anything ever. I don't remember his name, but Magneto, the guy who throws metal.
Heisenberg.
He's so fucking cool.
What is cool about him?
He's a fucking cowboy Magneto who fucking just shits on everyone in the game. One of his first lines is yelling, shut the fuck up, to the other characters. Like, it's awesome. He's cool. He doesn't care.
Is it like Resident Evil 6 goofy? Did you guys ever play that?
God, no, that was terrible.
Oh, it's not as goofy?
No. It's not quite like that.
So I don't know if Charlie agrees with me, but I do think that the castle section of the game with the vampire ladies, that was probably the best part of the game.
Absolutely. Not even a contest. That's why they made it like the face of the game, because they knew that entire Lady D section is just their best content in the whole game.
Yeah, so it's all downhill from there, guys.
Great. That's where I am.
Well, can we talk about something uplifting then?
Yeah,
you bet.
Do you like that pun I made, uplifting? How you like lift weights to pick yourself up with a Fitbod?
Mm. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Mm. Fitbod is pretty goddamn uplifting, because let me tell you something, repeating the same exercises can make you lose sight of your progress and kill your motivation. So don't get stuck making the same workouts over and over and over again. Make progress toward your future new with Fitbod. Let me tell you something, Fitbod's a little app that understands that the path to achieving your best look is different for everyone. It creates programs based on your unique body, experience, and environment, and their algorithm uses data and analytics to help you build on your previous workouts to help maximize your results. Whether you're exercising 3 days a week or twice a day, every workout from Fitbod will be scientifically proven to be better than your last. Now, some of you are maybe not vaccinated yet, maybe still staying at home, you know, playing it cautious. There's nothing wrong with that. But what are you going to do about the gym? You know, I'm going to fathom a guess that most of you out there don't have a giant, expensive home gym with tons of equipment and weights and all of that. Well, don't worry. Even if you have no equipment, Fitbod will have bodyweight routines for those looking to get fit at home or on the go. I mean, hey, play it in reverse. You're vaccinated, going somewhere safe, maybe taking vacations again, depending on where you live. You can still work out with Fitbod because you don't need any equipment. Do it wherever you want to be. Personalized training is pretty expensive, but Fitbod is only $9.99 a month or $59.99 a year. If you sign up now, you'll get 25% off of your membership. And that's important, because the way that you're going to do that is at fitbod.me/official. Pick up the pace on your fitness journey with Fitbod today, and your future self will thank you. Get 25% off of your membership at fitbod.me/official. That's fitbod.me/ what is it, Jackson?
Official.
Yay!
That's us.
Hey, that's us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Fitbod.
Thank you, Fitbod. By the way, that's a very nice yearly plan. That's half off. $60 instead of $120. You should get the yearly plan. Better than playing some of these games, if I do say so myself.
What is the worst game you've played in recent memory, Ackman?
Yeah,
is it
I
Cyberpunk?
Know that too.
Oh. Cyberpunk, probably the worst as far as like technical or like, you got me on one of those moods now. Oh, the worst. The worst of the worst.
We brought us flashbacks.
I had planned to do a video on this old game called 50 Cent Bulletproof.
Oh, classic.
Ooh, it's basically, it's basically 50 Cent trying to be like, oh, I want to make a Grand Theft Auto game in 2005. That shit is fucking terrible. That shit is so bad.
Ooh, well, let's not say anything that we're going to regret here. It's,
yeah, what yeah the fuck? It's a classic.
It leaves a little to be desired.
Wait, you guys liked it? Was that
Ackman, can I make a suggestion, a small suggestion? Instead of playing that one, play the sequel, Blood on the Sand, where he goes to Afghanistan to kill terrorists.
No,
that game is unironically hilarious. It's
and,
amazing.
Actually, 50 Cent Bulletproof, it's actually fun. Like, the cutscenes are funny because they have Eminem as this corrupt cop and, like, Dr. Dre. You guys are, like, familiar with this? I'm actually shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I played the whole game.
Did you only just find out about it or something?
No, I always knew about it, but I just never, like, jumped in and played it.
Did you unlock the swear packs? That's the best part of the game.
No, I've been saving up my cash to buy some music videos that I can watch.
You gotta buy in 360p. I don't remember if it's in the first one, but in the second one, there's literal, like, you can change the dialogue 50 Cent says while he's killing people, and they have different ratings for like vulgarity and violence and anger. So like his initial quips will be like, yeah, take that. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, shot him up. But then you can like buy money to upgrade it. So he's like, fuck you, man. Go fuck yourself. It's the best. Those games are awesome.
Okay, so I will say I love the cutscenes, but the gameplay is trash. So that and Cyberpunk, 50 Cent, Bulletproof and Cyberpunk. Yeah, those two.
Why did you invite this guy on, Charlie?
Yeah, what
that
the fuck?
Little, I didn't expect that. I didn't know.
50 okay, Cent okay, was like I'm the half-life right, of the 2000s.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I love yeah. it.
The gameplay was innovative.
There, now we can all agree, and we don't have to disagree about video games, okay?
Yeah, that
is. Do you want to come up with a new answer that's less offensive?
Okay, contrarian.
You guys, I didn't realize it was such a thriving community. 50 Cent Bulletproof fans. They're everywhere.
We talk about that every chance we get. Look, really.
We just want you to come up with an answer that we'll all agree with. Come on.
50 Cent Bulletproof was an amazing, innovative game.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. Now you can cut the rest out so everyone can see that I fit in with the group.
Well, I don't think anyone would disagree with Cyberpunk. Your opinion is completely correct on that.
Yeah.
Do you at least appreciate games
being the worst game ever?
Do you at least appreciate the Mac-Man for being fun bad? I mean, I think there's something to be said about a game where you have 50 Cent and one of his like rap posse driving a Humvee, and one of them goes, "Yo, hit that ramp, 50." And he has to like do an explosive cutscene of them driving over a ramp in the Humvee.
No, I love that shit. There's a scene in 50 Cent Bulletproof where like Eminem he's talking to 50 in his apartment and he's telling him, I don't know, like he's got to go kill this guy. And like as he's walking out, Eminem's just like, oh, and by the way, you're out of orange juice. Just like that's his last line. It's like, what the fuck?
So good.
They're so
it had
fun.
Deeper narrative meaning. You just didn't get it.
It sounds like something out of Resident Evil 8.
And by the way, it does. Orange juice.
It's so good, man. I hope they remaster it.
Yeah, hopefully they'll bring that for the PS5.
Yeah, haptic feedback and shit.
Oh, PlayStation 6 launch Ray title, tracing. Baby.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Oh, what about you guys? Worst games you guys have played?
In recent memory, I think the worst game I've played is, and I'm just going like right off of gut feeling off the mark, is probably Watch Dogs Legion. I've never played a game that boring in like recent memory.
Mm.
It's impressive because the gameplay systems behind the game was pretty I would say impressive and innovative how they like you could play as anyone in the world and they all had different narratives and abilities and such. How you take that system and put it in the most boring fucking world and with the most fucking banal like story narrative and just core gameplay loop, it's incredible. Like you made something innovative, but it's still a piece of shit. I don't understand how that happens. It was such a bad game. So bad. Awful.
Okay, and as long Valhalla as you guys all agree better. And have the exact same opinion, I'm fine with this.
Oh. Wait, did you like it?
I actually didn't. I didn't play Watch Dogs Legion.
Okay.
Nice. But I didn't like it. I did not like it at all.
Good. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Good.
What about you, Andrew? Yeah. I'm curious what your answer is.
I can't shut the fuck up about it, but Pokemon Sword and Shield. I've never been more disappointed and upset over a game in my life. I've never had a more like let down of an experience.
But did you really expect better from Pokemon at this point? I don't know how long you've been playing them, but it's all been kind of.
Yeah, I knew what I was getting into, but at the same time, I still expected they'd like make some interesting changes. But even everything they added and changed was just awful. It's the only game I've ever played where I felt personally belittled as a fucking player. Like, it was such a miserable game from start to finish.
Do you like all the unskippable dialogue?
Oh, my favorite is how the animations don't even exist. So you'll have a PlayStation 1 game where, let's say it's a Spider-Man game, and Spider-Man will be like, I need to shoot my web shooter at that panel. And they'll show a cutscene of him sticking his arm out, and the web comes out, and it hits the panel. In Pokemon Sword and Shield, you'll have a trainer walking out and go, Score Bunny, use Ember! And the screen will fade to black, and the text will say, Score Bunny used Ember! It was great! And then it'll fade back up. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing.
for the most profitable intellectual property in the known universe.
Yep.
They can't get animations. Okay.
There is no excuse. No excuse. I've ranted and raved on stream and on the podcast and everywhere, but it is still to this day the worst game I've ever played, both for sentimental reasons and for I think they're shitty games. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say what like the worst game is, because there's answers like Ride to Hell, Retribution, and Big Rigs and stuff like that, which are objectively, obviously, really fucking bad. But then I don't get much like I don't feel bad about them sentimentally, like Andrew just said, like, so it doesn't impact me that much. So it's hard to really know what the worst, like, what my worst game is, I guess.
Mine
is
like the go ahead. The reason I chose Watch Dogs, there's absolutely worse games out there, but the one that jumps into my head is that game just because of how offensively boring it was. Like, there's another game, Fast and Furious Crossroads, that came out came out like 8 months ago. That game is probably one of the worst modern games of the last decade, but I fucking loved it. Like, it's so goofily fun bad. Like, you ride a fucking missile at the end of the game where Vin Diesel's surfing a missile into a river. It, like, you know, it's fun bad. But it is objectively a much worse game than Watch Dogs.
There's something to be said about like fun, bad games. Like when Ride to Hell Retribution came out, I had like a boner for every video that was just shitting on the game and like watching the cutscenes and seeing how bad they are. And
it was a fun time.
Yeah. Simple times back then.
Yeah.
We can limit it to 2021, I guess, like stuff we played in this year.
I don't even know what's come out this year.
I also don't really
know. What you've played. Like, if I had to only limit it to games that I've played this year, for me, it would be Tell Me Why. It was absolutely miserable. And much like Andrew, it's the one game I go on and on about because it's just that fucking bad, but it's not even fun bad. You can't even make fun of it. It's just depressing bad.
Oh, that's just boring bad.
Nothing's worse than boring bad.
I don't want to rehash myself, but like Ant-Man, Act-Man, sorry.
The Marvel superhero. I'm known to go by Ant-Man as well.
I apologize. Your superpower in the game is misremembering stuff. That's it. You remember stuff that is wrong. And turns out that when you finish the game, the whole game hinges on this one idea that your mom tried to kill you because you're trans. And turns out at the end that you were wrong about that, actually. You just misremembered. Your mom wasn't trying to kill you.
What?
That's the end of that game.
No way. I'm serious.
That's how it fucking ends. It's your character is standing on a dock going, "Mom wasn't trying to kill me. Oh, that's right. She was trying to protect me." It's like, really?
How do you get that? How do you misremember something to that degree? Like, wait.
That's the superpower.
Holy shit.
Charlie, you genuinely have to play these Don't Nod games, man. They're so piss poorly written and just everything. I don't know what it is about the French. Like, Don't Nod is a French studio. Quantic Dreams is a French thing. Like, why do they do this to us, to the rest of us? Is this like a Cold War? I don't know why they torture us with this bad writing. But
it sounds like a lot of fun to laugh at, though, if that's the ending.
No, I'm laughing
at it just that you're retelling it. Or although it could be a lot less funny than, you know.
No, buddy, like, if you're going to play any Don't Nod game, trust my judgment. Play Life is Strange and only stick to the main series. Do not play the spin-offs like Tell Me Why. They are genuinely so fucking bad and whatever.
Isn't Ubisoft a French company as well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Maybe the French just suck at making video games.
There you go.
You said it, not us. Jackson doesn't like the French, I guess.
Not their video games, at least.
I'll see.
Isn't Pokemon also French? Wait, no. Sword and Shield is set in like France, right? Or is it the UK?
Yeah, it's the UK.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was one of the two. Close enough.
Do you guys think Halo Infinite is going to be any good? The closest
proximity to France. Huh?
You guys think Halo Infinite's going to be any good after the 12 years in development?
It'll never come out. I don't think that game, I think, is never going to see the light of day.
It has to come out.
Really?
It has to come out.
I just don't believe it. No, they've lost 4 creative directors now or something, right? They just they keep losing all their senior staff.
Even so, though, they have to make some money off of it. So even if it's a mess, they're still going to release it.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be good. That's what my answer was going to be, Actman, by the way, was Halo 5, because it single-handedly killed Halo for me.
Oh, damn. So, yeah, well, that's also a good one.
Was like,
you know, it was interesting. I don't know if you guys saw kind of like the brand deals around Halo Infinite, like back in November, but I actually got sponsored by... Oh, shit. I can't really say that on here because you guys... Okay. Sorry.
We can
take it out.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. Wait,
sorry, I didn't know if that was like... But I was just going to say that they had all these brand deals for like Halo Infinite, and they must have made that decision to like delay it like really close, because all those brand deals, like, they still went through, you know, like a tie in with a game that comes out in a year. And I'm like sponsored by this product now. It's like, OK, you know,
yeah, just, like, I think very what interesting happened is they might have had the game like in an almost ready to ship state. But then they showed what that state looked like and everyone fucking hated it, where none of the textures were done. Everything looked like shit. Like when they did that presentation, it became a huge meme with the brute that looks like a fucking claymation. And I think at that point, due to the backlash, they pushed it even further.
I mean, I think it was fairly obvious that it was intended to not be delayed, obviously. Like that delay came from fan reaction, I think. Yeah. And that's based solely on, like, it was meant to be an Xbox Series X launch game, and it was plastered all over the boxes and stuff, the promo material, like that they needed that for the launch window. And then I don't know how fucking 343 is so poorly managed. Like, they can't do anything. It sucks.
343 is like one of the worst developers right there with Game Freak. I don't understand how you can beat no. I have no idea, but it's sad. It's fucking sad is what it is, man.
I don't get it.
It's not even like a lack of talent. I think it's a lack of leadership. It's absolutely
It's the management. It's the people running the studio that they need to clear house and get rid of those people and put people that are actually competent up there.
Yeah.
Because every game, what's also surprised me is they've only made Halo 4, 5, and now Infinite. All the other games like Halo Wars, as well as the like twin stick shooters and stuff, those have all been fairly well received, but they've also been completely outsourced to other developers. Mm-hmm. So the only good Halo games recently have pretty much just been from outsourced developers, like not even 343. I don't get it.
They've done a pretty good job with like making MCC better, but like I had a tweet about that.
Awful on release.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say they're on the right track. Like, delaying Infinite was definitely the right move. I mean, we just got Cyberpunk, so I'm like, fucking, take your time, guys. Take your time.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, where, you know, these studios, they take advantage of the early access stuff, and they've gotten so comfortable with releasing games that aren't done yet. But still, I see you, I hear you guys, and I believe you. Your lived experiences, and I see your 343 and Nintendo, but I still raise you don't nod. I mean, if you decide to play any of those games, by the way, and tell me why. Let's say you play it, Actman, and you decide, you know what, I'm gonna make use of my Second Amendment rights, goddammit. I'm gonna buy a gun, and this game has depressed me so much, I'm gonna point it at my temple and pull the trigger. When you finish that game, after the credits, it gives you a number to a suicide hotline. So at least they are self-aware enough to tell you, hey, don't kill yourself, because you just played a Don't Nod game.
Don't worry, the sequel's not in development.
I think that's the fucking
message.
We're
shutting your doors.
Whatever.
No. The message is not, this game is so bad, here's a suicide hotline number.
That's the message fucking got. And at the beginning, it's like, so the whole game is about like transphobia and issues and shit. And they, at the beginning, very proudly flash, in the making of this game, no trans people were hurt. And also, we consulted a trans activist or trans advocate or something. It's like, who? Like, was it just Ben Shapiro in a wig that's like trolling you guys? Because this is the worst fucking representation of trans people. You made them look like complete shitheels.
What game is this?
The main character is a douche. Tell me why. Oh god, now I'm plugging it. Now people might buy it. Don't buy it, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Watch someone else's playthrough.
Well, it sounds like you want people to experience.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
I can't tell if not. No. You're like branching into wanting them to do it. Like, oh, don't
no,
play it. I'm telling you, haha.
So damn it. I've known Kaya a long time. Kaya loves this fucking series. He plays every goddamn Life is Strange.
No, that is
strange.
I love it.
He's embarrassed. He's embarrassed about loving it.
That is slander, and you will be hearing from my legal team, Charlie. I like Life is Strange. I don't like the spin-offs, okay? Distinction matters. Life is Strange is fun bad. Tell me why it's just bad.
So fun bad and don't not games, right? Those are the terms. Fun bad, don't not.
Yes, I mean
don't nod is what I think they're called. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Don't nod is a studio. They make bad games and they make fun bad games. Tell me why it's not
you were
a fun
saying,
bad
like,
game.
You don't not like.
Oh
don't
no,
not.
That's not like my
like,
catchphrase.
Don't play this. Not play this. Like.
No, that's not my catchphrase. Sorry.
Oh, that's. Oh yeah. Don't nod. Gotcha.
I apologize.
Ironic name.
We can wrap up here.
Okay.
Unless there's anything you wanted to bring to the table, Ackman, now's your chance.
Oh. I mean, we kind of talked about some video game stuff. No,
you don't have to if you don't. You
know. No pressure.
No pressure. Okay.
I'll say something quick.
YouTube.
Yeah, how about that nice. Shit, huh, guys?
Yeah, you guys watch well, that
that's
thing?
That's a website. Oh, yeah, I haven't missed any of that shit.
Oh, yeah. Is there any hot, spicy drama going on?
I don't know. EDP was the big drama for the year, I think. I don't think anything's going to get close to that.
Everyone took the week off to play Resident Evil Village.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Logan Paul and Mayweather fight.
Oh, true.
I think that'll be good.
Oh,
I still
hope
he wins Logan Paul. It would be fun.
I actually wouldn't even be surprised at this point. Like it's fucking crazy. Like I don't know how Jake Paul beat Ben Askren, even though that guy he's like pretty out of shape, old.
He wasn't a boxer as well.
Yeah, right. But he's still a fucking professional fighter. I feel like you shouldn't be able to beat that guy.
What we can mention is Trillo? What one of those companies that apparently they own the fights and the rights to it, they're now suing everybody who is pirating it. Have you guys heard about this?
Is something we could talk about. Yeah.
I think it's Trillo, is it? Do any of you guys know?
Trillo.
Anyway,
Trillo. It's Trillo.
Okay, the company that owns the rights to the fight, to the one of the Paul brothers versus some rando no one's ever heard of. They owned the right to those fights. And they're now suing or threatening to sue everybody who pirated the show, the fight, and more specifically, everybody who streamed the fight to somebody else.
Holy shit, so it's $100 million lawsuit.
They're suing each person who pirated the game for $150,000. Yeah. It's a lot of fucking money that they're going for. And I like that they said they specifically threatened and said that you, even if you were using a VPN, they can find you, which they can't. But they said they can.
I did not realize the Jake Paul Ben Askren fight was worth $100 million.
Well,
I don't have the numbers on hand and I don't want to scroll through these long ass articles, but I think they indirectly implied
right at the top.
No, what I want to say, they indirectly implied that more people pirated these this fight than people paid for it. So I think like 4 million people or something pirated the fight and like 1 million people paid for it or some such number. They're angry. They're very, very angry at the rest of us boys here who, not us, but like people who pirated it. And they're trying to scare people into paying for it. And they made a little, what do you call it? They gave everybody a grace period where, hey, until June 1st, you can go to soandso.com and you can buy the ticket legally. And if you do, we will not sue you. So you can still buy the fight for 50 bucks, I think. And if you do, they will take you off the lawsuit. And if you...
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was just reading from their head of piracy at Triller
This is some shit you would have. This is something you would have read like with Napster back in the 90s. Listen to this. VPN firewalls all have to comply and turn over the actual IP addresses of each person who stole a fight in Discovery. We will be able to identify each and every person, VPN or not, as each stream has a unique fingerprint embedded into the content. Triller will pursue each the full stream. 150k penalty per person, per instance, for anyone who doesn't do the right thing and pay before the deadline. They're like a fucking mafia.
Holy shit, that sounds like some Napster stuff.
That sounds like a downright lie, though. How can each stream have an individual fingerprint?
Allow me.
Also, you can't leverage VPNs to hand over the IP addresses of everyone who uses your service. You would never see a fucking customer again.
So, no, allow me to debunk this real quick. So let's say you're an official podcast listener and you go to expressvpn.com/official and you sign up for a VPN and you do some, I don't know, you watch a movie. A certain movie company doesn't want you to watch. So most legitimate VPN companies have a no logs policy. That means they do not log who you are, your IP address or anything. Also, most of the time when you select the server that you want to be your IP, many, many other people select that server as well. So one IP address tied to that server can represent like 1,000 different fucking people. Thousands. So no, they can't find you if you've been using a VPN. Don't get scared. Don't go to Triller's website and pay them. Fuck you, Triller.
They're probably gonna get like $12 from all of this.
Yeah, four children that watched it on Twitter think that they're liable now, so they're getting their mom's credit card to buy it legally.
They are also, I think, specifically the big one that they're suing is H3. Among many, many big websites, I guess.
They're suing H3?
I mean, so if you read the lawsuit's PDF, the fun thing is they list all of the websites that they're suing. And to me, that was like advertising. Like, oh, I can go to all of these websites to illegally watch fights from now on? Okay, thank you. Thanks for shouting them out, I guess. But I don't know what H3 did, but they're mentioned like as the big one in this lawsuit that they're suing because I think Ethan watched the fights live on this podcast or something. I don't know. So they're going for him. I don't know if they'll succeed though.
This is pretty funny. This takes me back to like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. This company I've actually been familiar with for quite a while. I didn't really know too much about them, but it seems like they're on the cutting edge of bullshit with a head of piracy at Triller.
A head of piracy.
We're going to take down the Pirate Bay. Yeah, that's worked. Sure.
It's still up to this day.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Actman, thank you for guesting this episode. Do you want to shout out your stuff where people can find you?
Oh, yeah, sure. You guys can find me at www.youtube.com.
But you want to be a bit more specific?
Yeah, the Actman channel. I do like game reviews and game videos, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. That's awesome. It was so much fun talking to you guys and just natural, you know, shooting the shit. I love it.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks we appreciate it.
Thank you, dude. You can have me on anytime you want.
No.
See you next week.
Shit. I mean, hey, that's a lot of fun.
Kai, do you want to do your spiel before we leave?
Oh, fuck. I don't have any. Please go to Apple, iTunes, or podcasts, whatever the fuck it's called, and review us. God damn it, Jackson. Hang on.
You always get up me for not giving you a chance to do it.
Okay, hang on. Let me pull up a review here. Uptown Puff says, very epic podcast. I just frequently started listening at work these past couple of days, and it's been a blast listening to them. Many laughs, honestly. That's 5 stars. Also, another 5-star review from Flambo. He says, Kaya. Fuck you, Kaya. So thank you for the 5 stars, Flambo. Please leave us a review. I think it helps us. And Jackson, where can they go for bonus? Surely.
Yeah, you can head on over to patreon.com/theofficialpodcast if you want to listen to bonus episodes. We got a whole lot of bonus content over at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. $5 a month and you get access to probably close to 200 hours worth of bonus content now. So go check it out. If you like it, then yeah, that's there for you. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone. Thanks to my co-hosts and thanks to the guest. Thanks for tuning in, man. Yeah. As well to
thank
all
you lads. Peace.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.